Mr. Godwin, Real 11. We were talking about when you were on the Russian convoy with JW-58 convoy. Now, you said, you know, very cold conditions, but you didn't go right out there. You stopped when you got to, was it the Barents Sea?
We went to Bear Island. We went into the Elbe. We refueled there, and we were sold all iced back to the UK, to Harwich. So we never went into the Barents Sea. We never went into Kola Bay. We was on our way back on our own. All right, she was full speed all the way. We went into Harwich. We got back and we went into Harwich. And what they did there, they done a bit of work on the ship in regards to the railway lines and camouflage and reprovision. And
so it was a sort of minor refit.
Yeah, it was just a minor job they'd done there, because Harwich wasn't suitable to do all the work on what they did, because they always had to come out on barges to do the work.
Were you based at Harwich then for a while after that? Or?
We was only there for about a week.
So where did you go then?
We went from there, we went down to Chatham. We went into Chatham, we had the railway lines taken off, and we had our camouflage changed. And from there, we operated then from Sheerness for a while. We was mainly on the North Sea and Channel waters for patrolling.
Yeah.
Mainly for U-boats, etc. And E-boats.
Now, what month was this? When had you got to Sheerness? Would that be April
Well, it would be around the April time.
Because how long were you there for?
We was there for a good, what, 3 or 4 weeks. In and out all the time.
So to May?
It was just keeping going on the, like, we go out for about 4 days, come back in.
Tell me what were you doing in the North Sea?
Just patrolling.
And it was the North Sea or the English Channel or both?
Both of them. We was go down the North Sea, round into the Channel, back up again.
And what were you looking for?
E-boats, submarines, any ships that came out of the French waters, anything to come out, because we had to identify them. Naturally, we used to do firing the aircraft, and later on we was firing at doodle bugs. But we went from there.
Now, were you involved in the D-Day operations while you were there? Where were you when D-Day was on?
Not at that time it wasn't, because D-Day hadn't started then. But what we were doing from Sheerness, we was escorting massive big concrete blocks and pipes, like reels of piping, which we discovered was Pluto, round to the south coast. We was escorting that, like the tugs with them, because they had to be taken into the in the south coast for preparation for the Mulberry Harbour, etc. Basically, what was happening was we was getting shells coming across at us, mainly going for these big blocks that was happening, but we all seemed to be in the way. We thought we was going to get it at a time. And I can tell you, we was on number 2 boy every time we went into Sheerness. On number 2 boy every time we went into Sheerness.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we used to have to go on the buoy. You couldn't an anchor. I know that because my cigarette case is down there, a solid silver one. Fell out my pocket when I jumped the buoy. And we was called away from there, and we had to go to Plymouth. And we provisioned and oil and ammo ship, and had a boiler clean. We was then told for Belfast.
Now, when was this?
This was in the August, to form the 21st Escort Group.
Now, that's after D-Day. So what exactly were you doing during...
We went on the D-Day. We was on the D-Day turnout because we went out of Sheerness on the 5th of June. And when we went out of Arbour, of course, no one knew what was happening. That we closed up at surface and underwater action stations. None of us knew what happened or what was going to happen. Well, we were sailing, going east, going southwest, going south. And what was happening was, we was going south, all of a sudden, we saw a massive armada. There was landing craft, there was cruisers, destroyers, you name it, they had it. There was balloons being on some of these landing craft.
And what were you actually doing? Were you acting as a screen, or...?
We were screening. And that's when we was told, we heard gunfire. And that's when the skipper came over the tannoy. And he turned around and said, no notice of the gunfire. He says, I can tell you now, he says, that is our ships bombarding the French coast. The landings are at Normandy. And we're in the thickest of it. God. And that was a sight on its own because and it was around the 5 o'clock, half past 4 or 5 o'clock, breaking dawn. And all of a sudden, it was like midnight again. The place was massed with aircraft and gliders. And all we had was this big gun firing. So we're chasing up and down this armada. And all of a sudden, we've got to the front of the armada. And a lookout spotted a mine. And it's come straight into our wake. And as our wake was, of course, us being slowed right down, the wake not being so rough, it was gradually pushing this mine. And the armada of landing craft was coming towards it. But at that time, I've never seen so many Aldous lamps or flags fly as I did then. They was flashing everywhere to these landing craft. And a minesweeper came in. Now I don't know the name of the minesweeper, but they came in. And it must have been one that they must have swept before and partially cut the line. And it's released itself. They came in, and I tell you what, I wish I was on a rifle as they were. They took about half a dozen shots at him, they hit the pin. And that mine blew up. That now stopped the armada from being hit by that, because it would have had quite a number of them. But we went into Gold Beach. Well, the Bolaro was... our capital ship in there, a cruiser. Kingsmill was a captain class frigate, and she was a radio ship. She was the one that was directing everything with all her high-tech transmission that had all been installed and the alterations they'd done to her. And she was one of the high-tech ships in there. There was the Kingsmill, Lawford, and the Dacres. All right. Lawford got sunk. She was bombed. But
what were you doing off Gold Beach?
Eh?
What were you doing off Gold Beach?
Well, we was only patrolling on the beach, along the beach. We had to get the Mulberry Harbour in. Like we was checking. But what was happening was we was ordered by the Velaro to start firing on shore positions. Well, all right, I didn't get involved in this on my gun now because I still had to remain on the quarter deck.
On the depth charges.
That, all right, an OD went up and took my place. And the gunner called over to me, the captain of that particular gun, he called over to me, he says, I don't know what a 3-inch shell's going to do on, isn't anything on shore. I said, nor do I. We couldn't understand why they sent us in. But after a couple of runs, they stopped, they cancelled that order quick. It wasn't worth their while. It was a waste of shells. But all we saw was the German shore batteries was getting their mark. As the landing craft was going in, the German shore batteries were getting it. And they was hitting them. And all we saw was bloody bodies floating around in the water, not only British, but also, or English, or air forces, also German. God, but you weren't allowed to pick anyone up. Whether injured, dead, or otherwise, you weren't allowed to do it. Because you had to keep on the move. Well, then the Mulberry Harbour started going in. Pluto was being laid. The blocks was being sunk in position. There was obsolete merchant ships being sunk, all to form this harbour, so that they can now get the... But it's going to take more than that time to get the harbour going to take landing craft in. But during the night, as they couldn't do them any more to the harbour that night, we had to anchor just outside. But we was all closed up to action stations still. All right? The RAF saw to the Luftwaffe. They weren't going to come over there no more. They were sorting them out good and proper in the skies. All right, we were firing at them, but we had to be careful what we was doing because of our own boys. But we was just outside the harbour, and there was me going round, and into the blokes who was on the upper deck, and depth charges. And I had to tell, the blokes had to be in pairs, that one of them had to be smoking. They had to keep a cigarette going, but no, don't strike a light during the night. So all they'd done was just kept it, they would chain smoking between them, because all they had to do was just touch the filament on this depth charge and throw it over. That was in case of any frogmen coming out to attach anything on a ship. So they all had a couple of charges between them. And that was all round the ship. But somebody had to be smoking all the time because they weren't allowed to strike a light or anything like that. So all I could turn around and say, well, you have a cigarette? And when yours is going out, make sure he's got his own. Just tap it off of each other's cigarette and keep going. Or, if you don't want a cigarette, get one of them nearby. Somebody had to keep a cigarette going. But they was never used anyway. I think I caught more chain smokers than enough that night.
What happened then?
Well, the next day, they proceeded with the Mulberry Harbour. But there were still landing craft going in. There were ships coming in, dropping landing craft for the Canadians and everything. Marines had already gone in. But we did spot a white ensign go up on the beach. We knew now that the Royal Navy had landed. As one of their, because they was radio people. They had landed. They was a combined ops. And we saw their ensign going up on the beach. All right, from the ships in harbour, even us, or ships who were there, all you heard across the waters was a cheer the Royal Navy's in. And they were worried about that one. But we left there on the 10th. And we went to Belfast, because we was under Admiral Max Alton, and went on Western Approaches.
So that's what you went to get your boilers cleaned at Plymouth, and then yeah. on to... Right. So you went to Belfast. You reckon that would be August?
In the August, because we formed it.
So there's nothing much happened after the D-Day, as far as you were concerned. The 10th of June.
We went on Western Approaches under Max Alton.
But between then and August?
Yeah.
That's 2 months.
No, we still carried on. We was under Max Alton. Of course, he operated from Liverpool. And he operated all the captain class frigates.
So you formed 21st Escort Group.
Yeah.
At Pollock Dock.
At Belfast. Yeah.
And that happened in August.
Yeah.
Right. So, what was the composition of the 21st Escort Group?
Well, was the Byron, Conn, Dean, Fitzroy, Redmill, and Rupert. That was the six ships.
And how did you get on with the other ships? Did you feel closely knit as a group?
Well, once we formed the group, it was just, of course, Conn was senior officer. And Conn used to give us, that was under Raymond Hart, and he used to give the order of what was required for the flotilla to do, like any exercises while we was at sea. And we got on very well. We really knitted together. We all met each other when we went back into Belfast. We knitted as a group. We were the youngest group ever to be formed. And we was all assigned to Western Approaches. Now, under Western Approaches, you used to have to go out into the Atlantic, hunting submarines, escorting convoys that was coming in, escorting them out to meet escort groups that was going over to the States. Now and again, we would take a couple of ships up towards Loch Hugh or to Liverpool that was going on another convoy to Russia. But we went out in the October for another Russian convoy, JW-61. We went out on a... The old group went out on this one. The 21st Escort Group went on this convoy. And we was all placed north and south of the convoy, so that nothing could approach it from the north, nothing could approach it from the south. There was another group that also went on that convoy. I can't recall what number it was, but they was also astern of the convoy. Now that convoy, we had a few aircraft attacks, but nothing that warranted any danger, no danger. We got that convoy through fair and square. She went through solid. Nothing lost, nothing.
You don't remember anything particularly about that then?
That was one of the clearest convoys that had been... I think it was the first convoy that actually got there without any loss, JW-61. There was 28 escort vessels on that particular convoy. So nothing was going to get through there, not as we can make out. And that's where it all went on. Well, when we got into Kola...
Now, before Kola Bay, according to this, you had a bit of a tragedy with one of your mates going overboard. Do you want to tell us that story?
Oh, that was before we got there. That was one of the torpedo men. It was a very rough sea. And what happened was, we had trouble on the edge hogs up forward. We had an edge hog up forward between A and B gun. And I went up there to check it. And he was coming up there to assist me, and he was in front of me. and the sea was rough, but we had to have a lifeline that we walked from aft to forward. Well, when we got up to the watertight doors, just past the gunwale, that was the first time it had ever been noticed, was that all doors should have opened inwards. Everywhere else, they all opened inwards. But for some unknown reason, and no one had ever spotted it, this door opened outwards. One door. And you had to open this watertight door, get inside in a passage, lock it, open the other, the forward watertight door, to go forward. Well, he was in front of me, and it was such a rough sea. He's let go his lifeline to open the door. All of a sudden, the ship swayed that way. The door opened, took him straight over the side. Took him, lifted him over the gunwale. And I was just behind him. If I was there, it was going to do it to me. We never saw a hind or heard of him again. But I still had to go up there to do them jobs. So I went on my own. And when I reported, I said, well, the door swung open. They said, it can't. I said, the door swings the opposite way to all the other doors. And that's when they recognised it. And now that's from the time of commissioning right up to that convoy that they noticed that door opened the opposite way it should have done. No one had ever don't notice it. So I lost one of my STs.
Now tell us about the hedgehog. You've not mentioned the hedgehog before.
Well, the hedgehog was a 24 charge hedgehog. What it was, that with the hedgehog, the ship slowed. Once you've got a submarine within your grasp, the ship slowed down, more or less stopped. And all it done, it just floated over the submarine. You could either fire 12 or 24. They were small depth charges, and it would fire, and they went out in a spray. They've covered the whole of the bows of the ship. But with that, the water never came up like with a depth charge. It exploded downwards and out. So anything in its vicinities, it caught it. And they were very high explosive in them. And when you get anything, but the ship more or less stopped dead. He just floated over his target and fired them out. So anything that was underneath, when that spread out underneath, they caught it. And that, but you could fire 12, but we always fired the 24.
Now, so that was a new addition to your army. You hadn't had that originally, had you?
Oh, it had been on there like when it was built.
Right, okay, we've picked it up now. Now, the other thing was, anything else before you got to Murmansk? There's nothing in here. What about Murmansk? Because you went ashore, didn't you?
Yeah, I went ashore.
What was it like ashore?
Well, went ashore there, and all we saw there, well, the first time I went ashore was because at Murmansk, it was all the jetties, as you can gather, had been bombed. So there was only a short landing stage there. But when we got on this landing stage, there is four of the six. And there was a merchant ship, a Russian merchant ship, tied up to this jetty. And all of a sudden, the skipper's leaned, as we're dodging across planks to get out of this bay, like get out of this pier. We get somebody call over the bridge of this ship. And I was calling out in English to come aboard. So, says, come aboard and have a vodka. So, the four of us have trooped up and gone up the gangplank on this ship. But when we get up there, when we get there, we're directed to the captain's quarters. All of a sudden, there was a captain who had been calling us over. And when we get there, this captain has come in, threw his hat off, took his coat off, and it turned out to be a woman. It was a woman skipper. And she's had her hair blocked down just like a man. And we all looked, and she's introduced herself. And she's given a bloody woman's name, Anastasia or something. And she's a man's voice, and she's now pumping vodkas in us. Well, we didn't stay too long with a lot of that because we'd never had it before. And we eventually got to shore, and all we saw was women digging trenches in the road. But we was being followed all the time. The Russian soldiers was following us continuously, so no matter where we went. Well, one of my mates turned around and said, walked up to one of them, and he held his hand to stop him going there, and he was trying to ask him, where could we go to get a drink? But we couldn't make him understand. But he directed us to a place, and we went there, and it turned out to be a bloody brothel. We couldn't go back on board ship because there was no boat to take us back until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we lumbered in the Manx, standing around, walking around, watching women. You couldn't go over because to any of them, to speak to any of them, because these guards who was following us was on us. But we did eventually find a little club somewhere, but wasn't worth going there.
Now, what about the journey back with RA-61?
That was RA-61. That was a return convoy. And we went out on my birthday. That was on the 1st of November. That was the check. That was the screening out of bay. For any submarines, etc., that was out there. There was evidently quite a screening of submarines, but we never picked up. We picked them up, but we never even dropped any depth charge. But we kept them away from that area. The convoy came out with some of the other escort groups and destroyers. The diadem came out, and the convoy was on its way. And that convoy came back as safe as houses again. No incidents whatsoever there on that convoy. That came back quite safe and all. I think it turned out a bit. It was the first convoy ever to go out and come back with no major incidents.
Now, when you got back, you got married. Now, do you want to talk about how you met her and how you got married?
Well, what happened was, got back to Belfast, because we saw the convoy into Liverpool. We ran back into Belfast. Each leave was given. Leave. With me being the starboard watch was the first watch to go on leave. I think it was the 11th of November on a Saturday. Was it? 10th or 11th. And travelled back on a Saturday to go home, like on leave. But when I got home, because my mother was evacuated at the time in the family, I go straight to my girlfriend's house, because I knew I was okay there. And on the Sunday night,